It's time to go out and...
Hey, boys and girls, from that infamous nightclub at the end of the world, we are all recovering, I think, from the most psychotic Thanksgiving I have ever seen in my life. Whether you're looking at the world outside or what was going on with me, I mean, holy smokes. Okay, so from last week, we have some kind of a ceasefire in Gaza, although I'm not exactly sure what was resolved by that, because as you squeeze the bubble to get whatever solution was arrived at in Gaza, Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, who helped seal that deal, has usurped his constitutional powers in Egypt, and there's riots in the streets like squeezing a balloon. Nobody really thinks anything was solved. But I do think that Israel learned that its Iron Dome missile defense was successful, which will encourage it hopefully not, but I'm suspecting that it will allow the numbskulls powers that were to really believe that they can proceed with an assault on Iran, which is where all this pressure is building toward and has been anyway. Anyway, so, but, you know, aside from that, we have the continuing suffering that's increasing around the world. Hundreds of thousands of people still screwed up in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, but not just there, but, you know, bad stuff happening all over the world, and it's continuing. And yet, all the mainstream media can put up is records broken, two shot over parking space at Walmart, Joe Blow trampled, and like that somehow makes 200 species extinctions a day. And massive climate change go away. I got a message from the board. Let me just cue this up in advance, because I know the guy who has requested it is going to want to hear it, and I promised him we'd do it. We're going to hopefully play Lisa Mann tonight when we get the song queued up. The song will be Wake Me When It's Over. That was in one of our music files before they lost the computers during Hurricane Sandy. So I emailed earlier. I hope she can find Lisa Mann. We'll find out in a minute if we can get her up. We'll use Diane Patterson to take us into and out of the station break tonight. Okay, music again, very important. With all of this that's going on tonight, and all this that's going on in the world, it's just so egregious to look at what mainstreams, and not only that, but to look at the people in frenzied shopping mode. They are dying creatures chewing on bones with no meat, trying to get satisfaction out of that consumerism. And it is pure madness, of course. We know that. And that's the era that's coming to an end. But we muddle on through this. Now, it's been a busy week. I hope everybody else's Thanksgiving was good. Mine was very good, but it was an ordeal. Last Tuesday, while jumping into my friend Doug's truck, Rags popped the second ACL in his right rear leg suddenly, and emergency surgery was performed on him Friday morning, the day after Thanksgiving. And we had friends up, Kristen Weigart, her husband Brian, their wonderful daughter Emily, were up recording some new songs in this beautiful studio that Doug has put together. So we got three killer tracks working, and Kristen wrote a song in one day. It was killer. So we had them up, and we had other people over, and I cooked the Thanksgiving dinner with my kind of world-famous leg of lamb recipe that's evolved from Rupert's Restaurant. That's a restaurant my great-granddad owned across the street from the White House about 1903. Anyway, so I had the pressure cooking, and then Rags had to go to surgery the next day. And poor Rags, man, this is the second time, and I freaked out as bad as he did. It just kind of tore me out, because it's expensive, but there's good news on that front. It's another $1,200, but a good friend here, John Mattingly, stepped up to cover that, and I'm grateful for that. We'll pay him back, and so that's taken care of. Rags is now on the mend again, but Friday night, man, he was on such painkillers. His eyeballs were like the size of saucers, and they were all bloodshot, and they were spinning in opposite directions. He was so loaded. I said, Rags, you remind me of me, and I sat down and showed him all of my scars from gunshot wounds to third-degree burns, and we had a long talk about getting wounded and recovering from surgery, and Rags is doing really good now. He's kind of stoned out in his room tonight, but he says thanks to everybody who has been writing and loving. So, but so as we went through this holiday, it was it of course with everything going on, one is questioning and aware of and sensitive to many things in the universe as we approach winter solstice, as we move deeper into this collapse of human industrial civilization, into what many of us believe is this awakening that's taking place. But I, you know, Jenna Orkin, who was on recently at CollapseNet, is a star, and CollapseNet.com. Every day, she's been reporting now day 23 on what's going on in New York City, and I just want to read this short one from Jenna, and I encourage you to go sign up at CollapseNet, not only for the great news that they bring you every day, but just for Jenna, just because she's so good. She writes, on day 23, as has been widely observed, with a fatalistic shake of the head, those most severely impacted by Hurricane Sandy were the poor and elderly in public housing. Since this is a population which tends to be more vulnerable to asthma and other respiratory illnesses, Sandy could reasonably be expected to deliver a double whammy in the form of mold and fungus left in its wake. Compounding this insult, some of the public housing units are located near industrial zones or sites that have been condemned as superfunds. Even Hurricane Irene, whose impact didn't live up to its hype, managed to stir up enough toxins to contaminate a Little League field, prompting the EPA to remediate a portion of the Passaic River. That's no mean feat, but as a former plaintiff in a class action suit against the agency, I'd like to know more details of the protocol they followed, writes Jenna Orchid. She is just a crusader and a half. She fought all the 9/11 pollution from day one, and she was in there swinging it. She landed some blows. So she continues, one of the Superfunds sits on the site of a former factory of Agent Orange, a notorious chemical of Vietnam-era fame, which is rife with dioxin, one of the most toxic substances known to man. True to form, the EPA says the Superfund poses no immediate risk, leaving the question hanging in the air, what about the long-term risk? The assessment of a negative short-term risk, a straw man issue anyway, is endorsed by Ryan Miller, a research engineer at Rutgers University, which was also a player after 9/11, when Rutgers professor Paul Loy served as the vice chair of the ill-fated WTC expert technical review panel. The panel met for a year before dissolving in discord. Jenna ends, but in keeping with their tradition of perceiving no evil where man-made contaminants are concerned, at Superfund Newton Creek, the only contaminant which the government admitted to be high was bacteria. So this absolutely dysfunctional world, and Jenna is so good at this, and she does it so well and with such care, and that's a way of connecting us all to the fact that getting better. It's getting worse. Two shot at Florida Walmart. I love that. Black Friday shoppers out of control. It's just absolutely nuts. So anyway, going through this Thanksgiving, we had some really cool people here. We made some good music. Doug is starting to build a beautiful studio out here, and tunes are just appearing. We're being blessed, and I've gotten to record a couple tracks, and we have a great new vocal mic. And we had Doug's friend Chuchi and her friend Mathieu come visit us for a night over the weekend too. And they're European. She's a very successful director. But in talking to Mathieu, this kind of brings me to the main subject for the show tonight, which is the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, which we're going to talk about at some length. Because it's time to start acknowledging that science and shamanism are meeting, and it's time also to start realizing that as we did so long for so long in the sustainability movement, and as I have actively done for many years, there is an awareness now that the male and the female on this planet are out of balance. And the fact that there are prophecies dating back tens of thousands of years that talk about this situation are things which should not be ignored. And this is a theme I've been pursuing in a lot of research and all the research I've been doing for the last few months. We're going to go into that tonight. But I met this guy, Mathieu, and he has a job, and I'm not going to mention the company. This is not about a commercial thing, but he works for a company. I mean, what a life. He's just a real handsome guy who lives in Mallorca, Spain, but he works for an Australian company. And what they do is it's computer modeling to analyze tides and currents and predict them all over the globe. And it turns out they're doing a land office business because shipping companies are discovering that if they can time it right, they can save hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on fuel costs and shipping costs. And this is a working partnership between the intellect, the mind, and Mother Earth. And that has very much to do with the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, which we're going to talk about after we play our song tonight. But before we do that, I'm telling you, I have been so behind in writing thank you letters and acknowledging so many awesomely cool people who have just been sending me love and constant support, and I got to tell you how much it means. But I want to give some people some heads up. You got letters coming out in the mail next week. Chara Maumi in Birmingham, England, you sent me a pair of beautiful size 10 beetle boots with this loving letter. I love that. Bill Stacy, you got a letter coming, and my dear buddy Scott Hall, who writes all the time. And Scott, thank you so much. You got a letter coming back. I just got your latest, and I think your latest analysis is too far a reach. We'll just leave it at that, but I'll give you that answer on the air because your letter is already written and sealed. Scott, thank you so much. Pat Webb, you got a letter coming. Mark Billups, you too. Pete Hyde, I'm writing back to you, and I'm getting these letters up, and I just want to thank you all so much. You've been so generous, and I got to read one to you. I don't read, you know, when was the last time I read a letter from a listener, like fan mail? I haven't. But this one came, and this is about the synchronicity that I'm talking about, where we choose to live from a place of love and from the heart, you know, and how the timing just kind of kicks in. So Friday, I'm coming back with Rags. This is after I cooked this huge Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm coming back with Rags after waiting 5 hours for his surgery, and Rags is all out in the car. And man, I'm just toast. I'm just emotionally drained and spent. And you know, the love had been showing up to see that Rags' surgery was covered and all that. But man, I was spent. And I get this card from Mary Lynch, who was an Irish nurse in L.A. Well, I like you already. Yeah. So I opened this card, and there's a little gift for Rags she had seen on Facebook when I posted it. But this is what she wrote. And I swear to God, when I read this, I just sat down at the table in front of everybody. I started to cry. She said, "Dear Michael, I heard you on Coast to Coast a while back, and for some reason wrote down your address. Tried to join your Facebook page, and now I get your posts on my page, even though it said you had reached your friend quota. I'm sorry to hear about Rags. Hope this little donation helps. Take it in the spirit it is sent. For some reason, I am impressed to write you. Perhaps grandfather, Tunkashila, thinks it's a good idea. So from an Irish nurse in L.A., have a good Christmas and be blessed for being a man of honor. Love and light, Mary Lynch." Well, Mary, you're getting your own letter back next week, too, because that was just a perfect timing. And Rags liked it, too. And I got to thank all you guys for all that stuff and that continuing love, and I send it back to you. And I'm acknowledging as best I can. So if you would like to write to me in Rags, we're eating okay now. We're doing all right. But if you want to write to us, that's fine. Please do. So the address is 75378, 75378 Red Cloud Road, Red Cloud, two words, in Moffat, Moffat, Colorado, 81143. And thank all of you. And now, because I've been getting, and this has been asked for a long time, and I was spiritual the last few times, but as we're all taking this ride together toward a new consciousness and a new way of living, and as we're all going through these incredible growing pains and the pains of renunciation and the pains of shedding old to acquire the new, there are times when the really spiritual stuff makes sense, like it has for the past few weeks. But there are also times when one has to enter. Let me quote the Jesuit mystic Anthony de Mello, who wrote that there comes a point in life where you either go stark, raving, irrevocably, absolutely insane, or you become a mystic. And for as long as I've been doing spiritual work, which is about 30-plus years, you know, I began in earnest in January of 1983 with full commitment. There are times when one has to live in the Three Stooges school of mysticism. That's the only way that you get through this. You push off deeper into the current, and you scream, and sometimes that works. So this weekend makes it kind of put me to the place where I'm really ready for this song, which has been requested. It's my dear friend Lisa Mann from Portland, Oregon, who I've sung with before, and the song is "Wake Me When It's Over."
That's kind of
why you're doing that while I'm doing
that. Okay. Try it.
Did you feel the lump? Did you feel the pain? Did it take you by surprise that Sunday? You knew the game and you made the plans. Did you think that things weren't ever changing? Won't you wake me when it's over?
Miss Lisa Mann, y'all got to do is Google that name, L-I-S-A-M-A-N-N, man. She is one rockin' babe. She was voted best female bass player and blues bass player and blues vocalist in Oregon many years in a row. She's just a trooper, entertainer, performer, and she's been a friend for a long time. I haven't played her in a while. We had some requests, so that request, check that one off the list, Luther. Okay. All right, so here we are, and I'm just very aware that good things are happening as well as all this crazy stuff out there. And sometimes it's hard to live in several dimensions at the same time. That's one of the best sayings I ever learned in Alcoholics Anonymous was keep your feet on the ground and your head in the clouds. And if you don't have your feet on the ground firmly connected there, one can go way off in the clouds. So it is that balance which we try to seek. And I've been studying, and what has intrigued me so much in the work that I've been doing since May, as I've been evolving on my own new path here as Tracker of Truth, I'm kind of doing in five dimension what I used to do in three dimension, and it's getting to be a lot more fun. I'm playing detective and putting pieces together, and there's no shortage of pieces. But I'm fascinated by the fact that there are so many prophecies, not only which appear to be coming true to the letter when you look at them, but some which capture an essence and a nuance about this time that is very deeply profound. And we'll talk about this up to the break, then we'll open up the lines and see where everybody's head's at tonight. But the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, you can, if you Google that, you'll find a good 20 or 30 different, and I've been reading on it for a while, and my heart's been talking to me about it for a while. It's an old prophecy originating, and I'm going to read you some quotes, from South America. And as a matter of fact, let me just read you some of this stuff. I found some good stuff on the web. This is from Dr. Carla Goddard, and you can find her at the Ashira, A-S-H-I-R-A, medicinewoman.blogspot.com. Ashira, medicinewoman.blogspot.com. And this was a very good read, and it captured a good essence of eagle and condor. This was published Thursday, January 19th. Dr. Goddard wrote, "The Eagle and the Condor Prophecies. The prophecy of the eagle and the condor is retold by many nations, many people. The Carol prophecies say that when the eagle of the north and the condor of the south fly together, the earth will awaken. For the eagles of the north cannot be free without the condors of the south. It is now, the awakening, the return to nature, and the cycle of nature is now. As we join together without regard to lineage and separation of path in an unbroken circle, we share an understanding of the messages of that awakening. When the consciousness awakens, it is then that we can all fly like the eagle and the condor. In truth, we are all native. We have all come from nature, from Mother Earth herself, and will all return to her. The golden light in the cosmos is the fire of spiritual light, sharing eternal flames of love to all equally. It has been shared for nearly 500 years that the Caro elders have held sacred the preservation of the Pachacuti, which is a sacred prophecy of great change. In the film The Road to Caro's Messages from the Andes, we begin to see the unfolding of the prophecy. The unfolding began when the elders of Caro's came to the north to perform a shamanic ritual that had not been done in nearly 500 years. This great gathering, Maste, and the sharing of people from all four directions continues. The Caro are sharing their teachings to prepare for the day of the eagle of the north and the condor of the south, when they will take to the skies to fly once more together, unified in Munai, I hope I pronounced that right, Munai, love and compassion. It is in Munai that these gatherings will occur. The prophecy shares the great change will birth a new society of remembering. We, the women, emerge from a sacred lodge gathering to share a message, a collective message of weaving the fabric of life into a beautiful tapestry. We urge you to listen and join us to We, the Women." Now, I've heard it interpreted in many ways that the eagle is the intellect, and that the condor is the heart. Now, we know from the science work that has been done by, made public and so well commented on by people like Greg Braden and David Wilcock, who have done amazing work, that the heart's the most powerful organ in the body. Its electrical field is many times more powerful than that of the brain. Its magnetic field is many times more powerful than that of the brain. This is science now. This is where science meets spirituality, and this is what's really fascinating to me, because this is the Holy Grail when we unify those things. And the other way of looking at that, however, is that the eagle is the masculine and that the condor is the feminine, which is so terribly out of balance. Now, as you read through this, and if you do the research, what you will see is that historically, over the 500-year cycles around 1490 in the Middle Ages, it was foretold in this prophecy of the eagle and the condor, which is many, many, I believe, tens of thousands of years old, because it went back many ages, that the intellect, the male, would become ascendant, and in the fourth sun, or the fourth cycle, would almost kill the feminine. However, an opportunity would emerge where the male and the female could be balanced, where the intellect and the heart could be balanced. And that's kind of what triggered me when I was talking about my Thanksgiving conversation with Mathieu, was that the intellect working in partnership with Mother Earth in a balance, because I believe that's a new, that's what the new place of human consciousness will reflect. Now, this is something that I found on the same subject from the website is www.maya12-21-2012.com. www.maya12-21-2012.com. This is the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, and this was really well written. This is a quote. These are just some excerpts. It was too long to read the whole thing. But this was written by indigenous people from South America. The prophecy of the eagle and the condor. The prophecy of the eagle and the condor is told by many native nations in the Western Hemisphere. The following is an elaboration from the Peace and Dignity Journeys Confederation of the Eagle and the Condor Coordinating Council. And these things come and go, but they materialize, put out messages, and people see the messages. I don't think you can track these people down, but it's a beautiful piece of writing, and from its tone, I'm certain that it's authentic. The beginning of the liberation of the Indian people would be symbolized by different prophecies, one of which is the union of the tears of the condor of Urin and the eagle of Hanan. The union of these tears would cauterize our wounds and fortify our spirit, body, and thought. The Great Spirit would open furrows, and in each furrow would water its seed, and in each step would spring battalions of men who would bare their chests to fend off the daggers of the enemy. They would reach out with their hands to erase oppression, exploitation, and injustice, and they would write on the huge page of the sky the sacred word of liberty. The union of the condor and the eagle, according to the prophecy, should occur in this time they're talking about now. The ensuing time period will be born with a new spirit. The new spirit will unite once again, and the red nations of the north, central, and south parts of the hemisphere will unite once again, the red nations, excuse me, of the Western Hemisphere. The calendar has time spans of 52-year cycles. The last cycle was nearing its end on October 12, 1992. The new cycle began on October 13, 1992. Within this new cycle would be a time of rebirth of consciousness amongst the two-leggeds of the world, and the eagle and the condor prophecy would be manifested in this time. Now, what that harmonizes to me, what that resonates with to me as we go into break here, is that I see from where I am and from this work that I've done, and I'm aware of the fact that this union, I believe, is beginning to take place, and that is the great hope for all of us. You look at mainstream media, you look at the world out there, a psychotic Thanksgiving, psychotic Christmas season. You look at the absolute abject failure of the governing meme, the governing paradigm to solve any of the world's problems, and you look at the crying need and the pain all around, and we all unite that to the fact that everything on this planet is connected because we are all part of this planet. The only way out is to take the head out of supremacy, put it in partnership, and restore balance, not throw it out, but to restore a relationship that was right, obviously, historically, scientifically, a long time ago. We'll leave that. We'll come back right after a couple of messages here. If you want to call in, the number is 1-888-874-4888. This is Michael Rupert, Tracker of Truth, on the Lifeboat Hour on PRN FM. That's a little instrumental work there from my good friend Diane Patterson. Her tune, Take It on the Mountain. Take It to the Mountain. I just love her. We're going to play some more of her tunes soon, and I just like to keep her woven into the show because she just so, her music just so evokes the feel of the relationship that that I envision to have in a society and a place someday where we are no longer separate from each other or from this thing which keeps us alive. So anyway, let me just add, I we do have a caller. I'll get to him in just a second. I want to add, you may have questions about what I'm going to be doing on the solstice, and that's a fair question. On the 21st of December, which I consider to be a very holy time, it is a passing of, it is an absolute passing of a 26,000-year cycle that I believe is very accurate. I will be in a very sacred sacred space that held by some very powerful sacred people, and I will be in prayer with some very dear friends for most of that time. And whatever happens, know that there's going to be a lot of people in a lot of places vibrating in the right way for the outcome that we would all like to have. So, David from Lake Tahoe, you got a question about the St. Louis Valley? David, you there?
Hey, Michael, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man.
Hey, I talked to you when you were on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. I was the guy that told you I used to live in the San Luis Valley, and I was telling you about great sand dunes, and I wished you happiness. And
oh, this valley, the San Luis Valley, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a place I want to tell you about there. It's called Zapata Falls. Are you familiar with it?
I've heard it mentioned a couple of times, but I'm not familiar with where it is.
Well, where you in Moffitt there, you head when you'd head back south down on I think it's Highway 17, and you go and you see the sign that says you head towards the Great Sand Dune. That's
sure,
those big
yeah.
brown signs.
That's
you go
all the way
to
Alamosa. Yeah.
And you go all the way down that road to where the sand dune's entrance would be. But instead of taking a left, you take a right, and you go down about a half a mile. And on the left, there's an entrance, and it's called Zapata Falls, and it's a river that goes over the top of Mount Blanca, and it gorges into the mountain, and it pours down through, and you go in a cave, and it's a frozen, like a long frozen waterfall, and it's all colors you can see of the universe in the fall.
I got to see that. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
You got to see it, and you'll get chills in your spine. And I used to go in there with my dogs. You could take Rags in there when he's feeling a little better, you know. It's really awesome in there. And I just wanted to tell you that since I was turned on to you, listening on a Coast to Coast, I've told hundreds of people about you because I'm an entertainer, and I get around a lot down
Uh-oh.
There in Lake Tahoe, and I've told everybody to listen to you and where to find you, and I've been listening to you and checking out all your back archives, and I think you're really in touch and in tune with everything, and I've learned so much from you, and I listen to you. I've gotten collapse and watched all your videos and everything.
I have been around the block a few times. It's amazing.
You
I
sure have.
Look as good as I do, and function. But you know, this place is amazing. There's a tremendous amount of musical talent around. I'm finding around. Holy cow! I mean, just some really amazing stuff. It's a very, very special place. But it's like I was teleported here. You know, it's like I was transferred. I just found a word. I'm reading Eckhart Tolle's book about creating a new world and finding your purpose. It's an awesome book, and I've loved Eckhart Tolle since I read The Power Now. But he described exactly what I went through from June through August, which was the renunciation where you lose everything, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like I was transferred here. But this place is like spiritual switchboard. I don't know of any other place in the world where such a wide variety of spiritual teachings are located in one place.
No, you there isn't. And I'm an entertainer like yourself, and I've played all over. There's like 100 places to play up in there. I do acoustics thing, and I do three-piece kind of like a, you know, original kind of a old rock and roll kind of style, the kind of stuff you're into. And I played all over Westcliff. You know, you've heard of Westcliff.
I've heard of it, yeah.
And Kachara, have you heard of Kachara?
I've heard of that, yeah. But it's like I've been living on beans since I've been here. So
you know what? You know what? There's so many places you could spend the rest of your life there, and you're in the exact right place you'd want to be, brother.
Well,
I just want to tell you, you're a real inspiration to me, and I learn from you so much. And I'm going to get back that way, and I want to meet up with you, man. Maybe I'll get out to dinner or something, or I'll show you around some of these places. And
All you got to do is message me on Facebook, man. Just message me on Facebook. I'll get back to you.
All right, bro. I'm passing the word on about all your intelligence and connection and knowledge. So I really appreciate who you are and what you do, and we got to get you international, brother.
Well, there's stuff happening. I can't talk about it, but you've just added some juice to that. And I'll just give you a quote from Diane Patterson's song, High Sierra Morning. I spoke to a dragonfly at Valley View Hot Springs. You know Valley, the hot springs up there?
Oh, yeah, sure.
The nude ones. I love them. Where you're sitting in, like, real pools with natural settings. And
oh, yeah.
I had a conversation with a dragonfly, but Diane Patterson has a line in her song, High Sierra Morning, dragonflies say this could be a good time. So you pass that on for me, man. This could be a good time.
Yes, sir. And I'll keep praying for you and connect with you and pass on your radio station and get more people in tune to you so everybody can learn from you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Got another caller behind you,
but David, thank you so much, man.
All right, bye, Tom.
All right. Tony from New York City. Are you there?
Hi, Michael. How you doing tonight?
All right, man. How are you?
Good. I wanted to ask, you mentioned a couple of websites a moment ago. I wanted to, if you can repeat them.
Oh, sure. Hold on a second. Let me pull up the... Google around, you know, and see what you get on some of this stuff, because it's a wonderful rabbit hole you get into with these prophecies. And you do have to use some caution. I'll talk about that in a second. The first one was Dr. Carla Goddard. HTTP dot Ashira, A-S-H-I-R-A, Medicine Woman. blogspot.com. And you know, you just it really is a rabbit hole. You jump into these and you get led around. The other one was www.maya12-21-2012.com. And you know, those are websites I just discovered today. And you know, I picked those because I've been doing a lot of studying, so I can pick some of the stuff that's more consistent. I did have an embarrassment, but I've always corrected. I mean, when you're a journalist, you make mistakes and you correct them promptly. The New York Times, you know, does 100 corrections a day or whatever. And early on, as I was going through a major shift this spring, I had been taken by the work of a couple of people who I'm not endorsing now, Drew Involo, Melchizedek, and a little grandmother. They were very powerful. They carried powerful messages, and one shaman that I knew liked them. But then this is what Spirit does for me, gratefully, is that if I make a mistake, Spirit usually puts that error in front of my face, and shortly thereafter I was in touch with a gentleman who had, his name is Steve, who had directed a movie for Don Alejandro of the Mayan people. And I will always side with the indigenous people first, and I was made aware that both Drew Melchizedek and little grandmother had appropriated stuff and were not recognized and had represented themselves in ways that were not sanctioned. So I had to go for like 3 weeks on this show, and I made three separate Facebook postings correcting that. Like I made a mistake. These guys are not to be trusted. But when you come to the prophecy stuff like this and you're checking them out, you can compare, and really what you want to listen to when it comes to the prophecies themselves, rather than its principles before personalities, you know, it's so we're not looking at personality. Listen with your heart and let your heart lead. And that'll lead you to some really good stuff. And I'm doing a lot more work on the connection between the prophecy, shamanism, science, and the way that many developments in particle physics are now converging. They are becoming, as David Wilcock would say, coherent, and that's the theme of my stuff. So hope that answered your question, man.
Well, you mentioned, there was one you mentioned about the tribe.
Third
one.
That was from the second website that I gave you. And I went to their website, and that's defunct. There was a link. In other words, it was there and it was gone. The Maya website is where I found it, and it was an elaboration from the Peace and Dignity Journeys Confederation of the Eagle and Condor Coordinating Council. What a long name that is. But it's obviously a group of indigenous peoples from I would guess, the Amazon, the rainforest, or from South America. But the Peace and Dignity Journeys Confederation of the Eagle and Condor Coordinating Council. Sometimes in the spirit world, these things can have names, but they can be very hard to track down if you approach them like a detective. You have to be
right.
Late.
Right.
You have to
Thank you
late.
Very much.
Okay. Oh, it has just been brought to my attention, guys, that I gave out the wrong address on... I told you it's been a tough week. Doug Lewis, my housemate, just sent me this. Everybody who wrote down my address from earlier in the show, cross it out. The address for me and Rags, Mike Rupert and Tracker of Truth and Rags, is 27378 Red Cloud Avenue. I certainly wasn't confusing that with my bank balance. 27378 Red Cloud Avenue, Moffett, Colorado, 81143. What can I say? It's been a long weekend. Thank you, Dougie, for straightening me out on that. That's now on the record. So, anyway, going back to all the stuff that we were talking about, this transition to the heart. I'll talk about the way I feel, but I got a feeling there's a lot of us feeling the same way. I'm real tired of looking at that world out there, and I'm tired of also trying or pretending to function like a normal human being in the world out there. Do we still have a line open here somewhere? Okay, I just thought I heard some background noise. Trying to go through the motions, but yet one has to go through the motions, and that's another side of this discipline, this balancing that has to take place, is that, you know, one has to do the grounding things. One has to do the things which connect you to daily life. I did chores all day today. I did chores from, you know, early on, and I washed things and emptied trash and that was good grounding stuff. And I got to remind everybody that grounding and especially connecting with the earth is good. I'm really grateful because I got some great new long johns because I'm acclimating to the cold here. And this is a lesson that I am learning as well, being here in the San Luis Valley at 8,100 feet. Our weather has been remarkably balmy, but we have had some cold weather. But when I was in Sebastopol, and I still miss it. I still dream about Sebastopol every night. I dream about my friends. I dream about the greenhouse and the fruit trees. But when I was there, it was very hard for me to acclimate to temperatures in the 40s or 30s. But since, as I've been doing this and exposing myself, I amaze myself, and this is a lesson maybe we should all take regardless of what situations we're being confronted with, to understand that we are capable of changing far more than we think. I'm very comfortable now running around just in a pair of sweatpants and a light jacket in the 30s and 40s in the morning. I'll put a hoodie on, but what I'm finding is that it's not so uncomfortable once you go out and do it for a while. And that reminds me of a line that was given to me when I was a young policeman just off probation back in LAPD way back in the day. There was a legendary cop that many of us knew. He became an actor, and he was a true legend in LAPD. His name was Jack Hoar, H-O-A-R. And I worked with Jack on mid-PM watch right after I got off probation. It was like, okay, you've made probation. Now we're going to put you with a real ass-kicker cop, and he'll show you how it's done. And Jack made a great many impressions on me. But Jack was a Marine Corps veteran of Vietnam. I believe he'd been in the Citadel at Wei. And Jack was just, Jack was bigger than life. But I remember he looked at me once and he said, "You can get used to anything." And the way he said it was very empowering because you knew that he had gotten used to stuff as many of the warriors that I have known, that few of us would ever think about having to get used to. And that's a part of the essence, I guess, of how we evolve, in that we are constantly forced to find situations that demand more of us than we have to give. And it's those situations that transform us. The number to call, we have open lines, and I'm here tonight, is 1-888-874-4888. I'm just trying to think on a theme now to take us out for the last 15 minutes of the show. I did not have time to spend putting a great big show together this week, just because of so much other stuff going on. I've had to do some writing. But let's talk about this theme of the very powerful, what I call or consider directed research that I've been doing by spirit since spring, when I reached the point where I realized that no human aid could solve the myriad of crises. And one of the themes that I've been developing along that, especially with all of my studies, and I drew extensively on my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous and the incredible lessons that it gives all of us, that are empirical lessons showing that life by spiritual practice does produce change in the physical world and in consciousness, which is what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. Those 12 steps work. But processing through that, as I've been was merging that with the major revelations that came from David Wilcock's book, The Source Field Investigations, the great stuff from Greg Braden, the stuff from Graham Hancock, and all the work, was that we have been living in a world where we approach problems like Sandy as a Sandy problem. We approach Fukushima as a Fukushima problem. We approach species extinction, 200 species a day, and of course none of those problems get solved. And as I have been evolving into this new free level of consciousness, where I'm fully able to speak a lot of stuff that I've known and believed for a long time, wouldn't it be nice if you were able to approach one change of consciousness, which all of a sudden, with that change of consciousness, allowed everybody to understand everything all at once? No committees, no footnotes, And in that change of consciousness, not only would the perception of the reality and the things that need fixing be apparent, they would already be under. That's what a quote unquote unified field theory would do. That is what would happen when we understand and we appreciate the fact that science is now showing us that consciousness determines physical reality, and that is what the 100th monkey is all about. And that's what many of us feel laboriously in the process of being reached. We have a caller, Josh from Torrington, Connecticut. Josh, you there?
Hey, Mike.
All right. What's up, dude?
Well, I just kind of wanted to put a comment there. I was on Black Friday, just wanting to do something else besides going out in the public. I just grabbed my Remington 700 and I had gone out in the woods to just practice a couple shots, and I had noticed. And I had noticed that, you know, normally this time of year, you know, hunting season's kind of going, I don't know what's in season, to be honest with you. And, you know, normally you'll hear like one or two shots every couple of hours. It's kind of the norm being out in the woods. But I couldn't help but notice, both me and my father just stopped and listened. And it was like you could hear echoing through all the valleys and all the hills. Mm-hmm. There's just people everywhere practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like a pop, but, you know, random or consecutive multiple shots, and it was nothing like I've ever heard before. It sounded like there was gunfights going on all over the place, and you could hear at least four different specific locations of just people self-training.
All of a sudden, that's not surprising, and you're not unique. I was just talking to somebody here in Colorado, and they had like 40,000 applications for firearm permits in Colorado in one day. Or
wow.
Something. It was astounding. And this is Colorado, where it's legal to drive with guns in your car. Yeah. I do. You know, you're in Colorado. Your car is considered to be your as private as your living room, which is good. But the fact that there are that many new knuckleheads rushing out to buy guns and starting to practice with them is always a scary thing. You know,
well, that was kind of my general warning to everyone: just be careful you're going out in the woods because there's a lot of new gun owners out there that might be training and self, you know, practicing, and who knows what they know and how disciplined they are.
Well, you know, fortunately, I think where I am, there's only 7,500 people in the whole county here, so I'm not too worried. But when I was in the 90s for a while, I was a manager at the largest gun store in the state of California, B&B Sales. And this was in about 92, and again before I got married in 94. And we would sell to law enforcement agencies. This was the store that LAPD went to get their M16s, their Bushmasters during the North Hollywood bank robbery. Mm. And we would see, with the 1994 assault weapons ban and with other bans that came along, you would see hordes of people who were panicked. I got to get a gun. And, those of us who were experienced combat shooters and you know, veterans, you know, we would just look at these people and go, oh my God. But from what I understand now, it's like two or three in the last two or three weeks or months, excuse me, it's like four or five times worse than anybody's ever seen.
It wouldn't shock me. I pay attention to a certain website, and I won't plug them and give them a name, but they do live inventorying of ammo sales. You can actually sit there and watch, you know, how much stock do they have on, and I'm watching, you know, pallets of ammunition just flying off the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it used to take months for a pallet worth of, you know, 308s to go away, and now it's like by the time you refresh the page, half of it's gone.
Now, this is another caveat for people who are slightly behind the curve, thinking that somehow the federal government is going to take people's guns away. I mean, there are probably 300 million firearms in this country, in private hands, and so that's not going to happen. But also, what's not going to happen is that all the people who own those firearms are not going to become one unified, highly trained, disciplined fighting force.
No, it'll be a free for all.
So this is why we pray for sanity, and this is why we pray for a change of consciousness, and we hope for the best. The world where what we all want, Josh, what our hearts crave, what this evolution is all about, is evolving in consciousness to a world where guns aren't needed for that purpose, and they aren't even considered for that purpose.
Well, you know what a lot of it, I think it is, Mike, is billions of people at this point sense that something is weird. They don't know how to put their finger on it, so they're just, it's becoming a comfort blanket at this point. You know, like, they feel like they're doing something at this point, you know?
Yeah, and I want to be very, very clear to everybody that even though I'm very clear in my belief that what is coming is a golden age, is an evolution and a liberation that this planet and our species has hungered for a long time. But in between now and there's going to be some real messy stuff that's going to happen. And there's going to be a real sorting out. And I keep coming back to this theme over and over again. I was just playing one of my favorite songs by Jerry Rafferty, who wrote Baker Street the other day. But he has a song called Whatever's Written in Your Heart, and it's a great song. And whatever's written in your heart's all that matters, and that's the big determiner right now, because those who are going to get scared and panic are going to drown in it. They're going to follow that to its logical conclusion. And what we hope for is, by hook, by crook, by miracle, by prayer, meditation, work, by whatever the heck we do, that we sow, that we spread sunlight, and we live in love rather than fear, and belief that our day is coming, man. Anyway, Josh, thank you very much for calling tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
All right. So listen, it's been a long, hard weekend. My dog has had his drugs, and everything is all put away, and I'm ready for some chicken tomato consomme and a bagel and to get a really good nap because I got work to do tomorrow. And trust me, we're all doing work here, and we're making progress. And spirit is on the field. Believe in miracles. They can happen without your permission. This is Mike Rupert, Tracker of Truth. I'll be back with you next week on the Lifeboat Hour. Good night. I love you.